All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We are back with some Chasing Sunset, so let's get started. The sequencer is back online, so I should have my test results back tomorrow. Apologies for interrupting, but is Mallory running any errands for you? I don't think so. Why do you ask? She's late for a waxing appointment, and her phone's been powered off. George and Lisa are at a gala in town, so I doubt she's doing anything for them. That's very odd. Or rather, that's not how she sounds. This is very odd. I was tracking her phone until it went offline at the pier where the sunset was refitted. Jay shoots you a perplexed look. God-tier violations of privacy aside, that does seem strange. Maybe she's with Oliver? Captain Oliver is currently in his room with Dr. Allard. They are having loud sex. Wow. Good to know. Historically, Mallory is on time for 98.8% of our planned excursions. Ugh. She is annoyingly punctual. If her phone went dark, it's probably worth looking into. In spite of her laconic expression, ooh, I like that word, laconic, you can detect relief in Amanda's eyes. Thank you. I have shared the last location of her phone before it was powered off. Wait, I'm coming with you. I'll text George and see if he knows anything. A brisk walk later. We're standing right on top of Amanda's waypoint. Wait, do you hear voices? Yeah, let's try to get closer, quietly. Sneaking aboard and inching towards the stern, you can faintly hear a male voice over the lapping surf. You glance at Jay inquisitively, and she just shakes her head once. Let's get eyes on this. Edging forward, you sneak into position to assess the situation. You're surprised to see Mallory and Christian bound by the rail. What the fuck is going on here? Who's that? Mallory seems semi-conscious, rather, but Christian is perfectly alert and spots you. Seb's nephew going off the reservation was a stroke of luck. Now I can just spoon-feed the cops a classic murder-suicide. Anyway, I'm on the clock here. The man cuts the call short and turns enough for you to get your first good look at him. Why does he look so familiar? All right, Chris, your number's up. If you behave, I'll do you quick and quiet. Now cozy up nice and close to our little liability here so you get plenty of blood on you. Pulling Christian into a headlock, he begins to drag Christian towards a dazed Mallory. Shit, this is going south quick. Jay, call the cops. Without waiting for her to answer, you step resolutely out into the open. Hey there, friend, you must be the buyer George was talking about. At the sound of your voice, the man glances at you and Christian begins to struggle. Well, there goes my early flight. Look, I don't know what's going on here, but the cops are on their way. If you fuck off now, maybe you'll be in the wind by the time they get here. The man just smirks in response, and suddenly Christian's flailing becomes more desperate. I guess I need to work quickly, then. Resigned, Christian stops struggling and looks straight at you with earnest intensity. Grim, listen. It's Lemmy Smash. Huh? A moment of confusion crosses the assailant's face before he leaves, and Christian's neck snaps. The man nonchalantly pushes the still twitching body overboard and draws a concealed blade. He's just fucking killed Christian like it was nothing, and now he's got a weapon. Suddenly, you recognize the man from the photograph Inspector Stewart shared during your interview. You! For the first time, the man hesitates as he realizes you recognize him. Possible. Nice kid. Nice try, kid, but we've never met. While you're stunned by emotion, he begins closing the distance between you. This is him. He killed Mom and Dad. Yes, and now he plans to kill you, Grim. David. This man is a professional. He won't negotiate and he won't waste words on you. You're going to tell me to run. Is that really what you think? That's what you always said I should do. I told you that you almost always have more to lose than the other guy. Do you think that's the case here? No, he's already killed, and he'll keep killing if I don't stop it. That was the lesson. You fight only when the cost of doing otherwise is unthinkable. A rush of emotion nearly overwhelms you. You struggle for words. David, I... Choosing to lay down your life for another is the highest calling anyone ever faces. For me in that moment, there was only one answer. Just as it is for you now, my brother. Now, do what you must, Grim. It's time to become the lion. You snap back into the moment, surprised to find your would-be murderer still 3 steps away. What? What's happening? Grim? A strange serenity washes over your body as you transition into a defensive stance. That knife is the X factor. If I can neutralize it, I'll even the odds. Your attacker lunges in with a probing slash intended to test your reaction time. There is not a lot of room to maneuver here. I won't be able to stall him with footwork. He steps into a thrust, forcing you to dodge. Rinko's lessons pay off as you effortlessly dodge the anticipated reversal. Suddenly, you see a flash of red out of the corner of your eye as Jay sneaks towards Mallory. You're a wanted man. Mm-hmm. You'll never get off the island. Jay, I must have hit my head. At the sound of Mallory's voice, the man turns his head slightly to check his mark. This is the closest thing to an opening I'm gonna get. Realizing his mark is on the verge of escape, he turns and begins advancing towards the women. You thrust forward to put yourself between them, but don't see his jab until it's too late. Oh! You realize that he's a step ahead of you, and you were his target all along. The pain of the blade piercing your abdomen feels distant compared to the force of the impact. Oh my god, Grim! You hear your heartbeat in your ears, and your vision blurs as time comes to a halt. What was I thinking? You nearly black out from the pain as he twists the blade slightly in an attempt to withdraw it. I can see it in his eyes. He thinks he's won. What would Rinko say? I'd say he gave you a knife, fuckboy. Go on a fence. You can let go, kid. I'll do them quick. They won't feel a thing. Something in you snaps and you lash out savagely in a sudden white-hot rage. While he's reeling from your explosive punch, you hyperextend his elbow and apply all of your strength. Crack! Fuck! When some distance opened up and opponents seriously injured, you go on the offensive. Without conscious thought, you pull the knife from your torso. In spite of your open wound, your mind is focused and your body hums with furious energy. He killed Mom and Dad, and he would have killed every last one of us. If he got lucky. Next time he won't leave anything to chance. This ends now. Grim! No, kill him! With adrenaline-fueled time dilation, his inevitable attack seems almost unfairly slow. Yes! Ducking easily under his left hook, you bring the blade up under his chin and drive it home. You hear a faint, hissing gurgle as expression goes slack and the light goes out of his eyes. The inner fire that kept you upright fades and you collapse to your knees as darkness closes in. Now pick up his body and throw it in the water. Just fucking throw it far in the water. Go far out to sea where they'll never fucking find it. You're right, David. There was only one choice. As consciousness fades, the hovering faces of the women you saved is a comforting vision. Listen to my voice, Grim. The medics are on their way. No! Keep your eyes open, Grim! Oh my god, he's losing so much blood! Hold this against the wound. Keep pressure on it. Hey, wake up, Grim! Sobs. It's self-defense. The man's a fucking assassin. Don't you fucking leave me all alone. Make a manual save now. Your game was auto-saved to page 99, slot A. Slot 8? In between. Such a cute little place. Somewhere in the darkness of your unconscious mind, your mother's voice beckons warmly. Grim! Each fleeting note brings you one step closer to the place where recollection and awareness collide. Grim! After a time, you arrive at the painful memory of the last time you saw your parents alive in Sicily. Remember it. Sarah looks across the cantina table at you with a hint of worry in her eyes. Sorry, Mom, I guess I still just can't believe you guys are actually here. It's not like we didn't give you a heads up. Even so, I mean, I haven't seen either of you for 5 years. Your mother and father exchange a knowing glance. Well, it hasn't been quite that long for us, Grim. What do you mean by that? You remember last year when you got sick in Tanzania and wound up in the... Or Tanzania. I'm not talking about Tasmania here. And wound up in the hospital? Yeah, but how did you find out about that? We were at your bedside until you regained consciousness. Speaking of that game, Taz Escape from Mars, fuck that game. I'm talking about Tasmania. Yeah, an original game too, because of the fucking minecarts. But back to the game. Wait, you were there? And David knew? He was a good friend to you, son. He only did what he thought was right. But why didn't you stay? I would have given anything to see you again. James ponders a moment before answering. Son, all parents dread the day they have to push their children out of the nest. But damn if you didn't just leap out of it all by yourself. Grim, James felt there was road ahead of you that you needed to walk on your own. And when I see the man you've become, I know in my heart that he was right. But I didn't have some freaking metaphorical road to walk. I had a messed up situation I had to get some distance from. You feel a flash of irritation as the wry chuckles your comment elicits from... Let's try that one again. You feel a flash of irritation at the wry chuckles your comment elicits from both parents. Did I say something funny? Not intentionally, it's just that children are always so quick to underestimate their parents. How did I underestimate you? We know why you left, son. We always knew. What? You and Jay were so close at first, we knew what was happening before you did. Wait, all this time you knew and you didn't do anything about it? Why didn't you... Do what, Grim? Send you both to therapy? Force you to not love each other? That was your road, Grim. We couldn't travel it for you. She trades an adoring glance with James, and you find yourself in awe of the depth of their connection. Are you telling me you're okay with it? You don't think there's something wrong with me? Well, at first we figured it was garden variety puppy love, just a phase you'd outgrow. But the more we watched the two of you, the more your love reminded us of, well, us. You stare in abject shock at the parents whose judgment you spent a decade avoiding. Well, that's all ancient history now, anyway, and Jay is nothing like you, Mom. In fairness, your mom's a unicorn. If you ever find another woman like her, shoot your shot. As much as I love my daughter, I'd have a hard time deciding which one to root for. James, please. Chuckling at Sarah's indignant outburst, your father produces a small jewelry box. The day Jay and I went shopping for your mother's wedding band, she picked one too. Got the whole shop's attention when she declared you would propose to her with it someday. Oh God, I melt inside every time I hear this story. You two were so frickin' adorable. Anyway, I found myself in the same shop the next day and ended up buying it. I told myself it was a backup in case your mother didn't like the first one I picked. What the hell is happening right now? Are you giving it to me? Son, you both matured beyond making impulsive choices and disregarding consequences. Jay still needs you, Grim. Now more than ever. I know she never stopped loving you. Love can have a mind of its own, but it will adapt if you're patient and put in the effort. Find a way to be there for her, and if you give her a chance, I know she'll be there for you. Grim, what your father is trying to tell you is that we love both of you so very much. We would never judge how the two of you decided to love each other. That has always been up to the two of you. All right, Chris, your number's up. It's Grim, it's... Let me smash. Oh. ECG now reads 81 beats per minute, normal sinus rhythm. This is good. So you're a doctor now? Of course not. I memorized clinical ECG interpretation this morning. Because of course you did. Listen, his breathing just became erratic. I see theta waves. Alpha now. He's becoming lucid. I think he's awake. That is what I just said. No discernible erection, however. Unfortunate. Oh, thank God, Grim. You had us all worried. Get the doctor. No, go get Jay. But Jay will return from the restroom shortly. Ugh. Go. Get. Jay. Okay. You advocated for embracing the Crucible technology and using it for good. You convinced Dr. Allard to replicate Bandit, the puppy Mallory lost as a child. Ricky confirmed her parents' marriage is on the mend, thanks to your advice. Bianca seems to be fighting an attraction to you and masturbated after watching a movie with you. Sensing her neediness, you reminded her of her offer to provide massage services. Christian Mendez gave an encrypted flash drive that seemed to be related to the Prizer lawsuit to Mallory. You told Jay that a blood relationship wouldn't change your intimate relationship with her. You agreed to assist Titanium Chef Tanaka in the kitchen when you have free time. You enjoyed a threesome with Amanda and Mallory that the latter seems reticent about. You went on a second date with Jay, with similar mind-blowing results. Lisa's been spending off-the-books time with you, but has kept it mostly professional. After defeating Rinko Tanaka in single combat, she revealed her conversation starter to you. Chef Tanaka informed you she would be leaving soon and concedes that you have become friends. Christian was murdered by your parents' killer after shouting something to you that seemed important. You acted in self-defense and killed the man who married your mother and father! Self-defense, folks! I'm defending that. I defend that in court. You saved your sister and Mallory from certain death, but were seriously wounded in the process. Chapter 8. Okay, this is our last chapter that we have so far. Tonalu General Hospital in Tonalu Harbor. Mallory and Jay wait impatiently as you wrap up your consultation with a surgeon. Good lord, the surgeon looks like he's been doing surgery himself. That's like a surgeon you'd see on a soap opera. All I'm saying is that the last time I got bored in a hospital, I defibrillated myself on a dare. Can we not? Your liver laceration was trivial, but blood loss nearly did the rest. And yesterday felt like an absinthe and tequila hangover, but today I feel so much better. You are fortunate your annoyingly upbeat friend here is a universal donor. The cyclone left us critically low on type B, and we couldn't reach your donor on file. That'd be my mother, but she passed away this year. Good thing I brought a spare. Mallory forces an awkward smile while Jay regards you with a haunted expression. What are you talking about? Are you feeling lightheaded? Mallory forces an awkward smile while Jay regards you with a haunted expression. Okay, are you feeling lightheaded? I'm feeling like I want to recover at home with Hot Pockets and porn like every other guy. The doctor shoots you an exasperated look. Discharge protocol after a transfusion is 24 hours minimum. Tomorrow, not a moment sooner, and that's only if your fan club allows you some rest. Jay and Mallory smile at the doctor disarmingly. We were just leaving. May we have just one moment with your patient on our way out, doctor? So now my medical opinion matters. Muttering under his breath in frustration, damn kids, the surgeon takes his leave. It feels oddly natural as Jay and Mallory approach on opposite sides of the bed. I didn't even see he had a knife, Grim. I should have just waited for the police. Jay, if you had, who knows how things would have played out. At least we're all still here. I'm certain you saved my life. That both of you did. I'm still here, and the other guy isn't. The sooner we put it behind us, the better. Christian Mendez is gone. I know. He said something before he died that might help us. But that can wait. We don't want to upset my surgeon enough to amputate anything you'll miss. Just wait until he sees the conga line forming out front to see you. Really? Who? Literally everyone you know here, plus the local press and even some government types. Oh yeah, and there's a jelly roll from the consulate I'm getting a real shady vibe from. That's weird. I'll keep an eye out for him then. Grim. What were you forced to do last night to stop that man? I can't even... We're gonna try that one again, guys. Grim, what you were forced to do last night to stop that man, I can't even imagine. Her eyes brim with frustrated tears as she struggles for words. Hey, don't worry about me. I knew what was at stake and my conscience is clear. Now, you both look like you need sleep way worse than I do. We'll talk more tomorrow. Mallory grasps your hand impulsively and kisses you softly on the cheek. Not all heroes wear capes. But this one does, and I've got the pics to prove it. Want to see over some mojitos? You're kidding. And also, yes. Don't even fucking think about it, sis. I just let you back into the circle of trust. I knew copying Mom's photo album would pay off, and technically I'm just returning them. Besides being pretty fucked up, that's not a loophole. Careful now, Grim. Don't tweak your stitches. You can only glare helplessly, so two girls leave the recovery room giggling. 20 minutes later, as time passes, you find yourself becoming increasingly frustrated. You're about to page the nurse for something to eat when you hear a familiar mocking chuckle. Well, what have we here? Rinko, wait, aren't you supposed to be in Seoul? I do what I want, Grim. I'm a big girl. Besides, after what happened, I couldn't just leave your meals in the hands of... Tanaka lowers her voice conspiratorially as she reveals a mouth-wateringly aroma... Okay. A mouth-wateringly aromatic takeout sack. These fruit cup fascists. Thank God. One more cup of gelatin and I've burned the whole building down. But let the record show, Rinko Tanaka delayed a trip just to come visit me in the hospital? Don't be ridiculous. I always budget some wiggle room into my schedule. And all this time we thought Chef Stabby McRage face was crusty and hard as nails. But it was all just a clever ruse so they wouldn't see that big heart. Krusty, do you want your lunch served via your catheter? Nope, the traditional method is fine, and whatever that is smells fucking amazing. It's my signature ramen, soup for the wounded warrior. That sounds so incredible right now. Grim, all joking aside, I'm happy to hear that you're going to be alright. You gave us all quite a scare. I only survived because of your training. I'm glad he admitted that. Rinko, I can't thank you enough. When I think about how close I came to not offering at all, the normally stoic chef wrestles with words for a moment before falling back into character. Eat all of your soup, Grandma. No, if you don't. Without another word, Tanaka turns to leave. One eternity later, after drifting in and out of sleep, you awaken suddenly to the feeling of being watched. The fuck? Oh, good, you're awake! Sitting somewhat awkwardly across from you is a punchy, bookish man you didn't recognize. Well, that wasn't creepy at all. Are you with the hospital? Oh, Lord, no. Brian Ferguson, U.S. Consulate. Consulate? Why would you have any interest in me? Why, indeed. The man looks at you intently for a moment, as if having an inner debate. I had originally planned to just sign your release to the Tonalu authorities and call it a day. What are you talking about? Am I being charged with something? Why, manslaughter, of course. You did kill one Vincent Russo on Tonalu soil, Mr. Campbell. You've got to be kidding. That was self-defense. He was a threat to everyone on the boat. And the government has an interest in advertising that the only crime on Tonalu is imported. You could have offered me up remotely, so why don't you tell me why you're really here? To ask a few questions before I decide how I'm going to put this little fiasco of ours to bed. If this is an interrogation, I'd like my attorney present. If you are that apprehensive about it, we will not discuss the yacht incident directly then. I'll start with a softball. Why did Lisa Hendricks just cancel two secondary patent applications? Secondary patents? What does that have to do with... If you want my help, Mr. Campbell, you'll need to answer my question. I honestly don't know. I've been stuck in here and I haven't talked shop with Lisa in days. That's plausible, and perhaps you can provide an answer that predates your incident. I will if I can. Amanda Cohen, a U.S. citizen, was reported missing a month ago. Is she in the care of your team? Reported missing by whom? She's an adult and she's here voluntarily at the invitation of a friend. Is she competent? My information suggests she suffers from a terrible and terminal disability. Competent is relative, but she has no life-threatening conditions that I'm aware of. I mean, she's a bit extra, but that's probably definitely not terminal. Her mother spoke to her via phone and came away convinced her daughter was not well. These are her words, not mine. She sounded possessed. She does have her moments, like this one time I forgot to put the toilet seat down. Do you want to hear a theory, Mr. Campbell? Is not really an option here. One of the patents Lisa Hendricks canceled was used by Polygene to treat Miss Cohen's disability. This inclines me to suspect it either didn't work as hoped, and thus she's circling the wagons, or it worked better than hoped, so this is an obfuscation strategy to prevent copycat research. This really doesn't sound like it has anything to do with my passport situation, Mr. Ferguson. Tell me, have you ever wondered how politicians win elections with a pile of debt? Only to depart after a term or two with summer homes in the Hamptons and millions socked away? I don't know, lobbyist kickbacks? Well, sure, but politicians also make more informed bets in the stock market than most people. Oh yes, insider trading was my second guess. For many years, one of the most informed bets has been Pricer, but we smell blood in the water. It would have to be an arterial gusher for you to even consider Polygene an alternative. That may be true at the moment, but business has a way of booming once we deal you in. It all sounds shady as fuck. What exactly are you asking for? Nothing you can't handle. Convince Miss Hendricks to resubmit both patents. And if I do? The Tonalo police will find you acted in self-defense and your life goes back to normal. Just like that? Take the deal and consider yourself lucky. Assets like Vince Russo don't grow on trees. Wait, you're saying he wasn't Pricer's cleaner? Of course he was, but did you think combat vets like him just get recruited off linked up? You feel a cold rage bloom within you, but your voice remains deceptively calm. And the lawsuit? What happens with that? I guess that depends on Polygene's potential after we've reviewed the full product catalog. And what's stopping me from reporting all this to the FBI? Brian stands and smirks at you dismissively. It's cute that you think they're the good guys. See how that works out for you. Tonalu Beach Boardwalk. Tonalu Harbor. Finally, morning. While shopping really isn't your thing, you can't deny it feels good to be outdoors again. If I remember correctly, the gadget shop is just up here on the right. You should make the globe pay for your new phone since it was lost on assignment. Probably at the bottom of the harbor now. You instinctively put a reassuring arm around Mallory as she shudders at the memory. It still had a mini RCA jack and played a sad trombone sound whenever you tried to update. But I love that phone! Now you can upgrade to the latest tech. You should definitely go with the AI Botnet Pro. Boy, that doesn't sound shady at all! Entering the pleasantly empty electronics shop, Mallory and Amanda continue their debate. You sure you're up for this? Yeah, 3 days in the hospital had me climbing the walls. Well, if you start feeling woozy, we'll call a rideshare and get you back to Bianca's. Experience a new way of gaming in virtual reality. Grim. Holy shit, Snacks. Call of Duty in VR. What? Hold that thought. Oh. From across the room, Mallory tries to get your attention. Should I get the AI Botnet Pro or the Paraphone 15, Grim? Jay just looks at her helplessly as you ignore them both. Alright, let's see what the hype is all about. Grasping the headset carefully, you slip it on. Oh, wow. Is it really that cool? Shit, now I'm curious. Oh, yes. Do you think it'll make much of a difference in the FPS? Eternum. More real than real life. Yep, we know that, folks. Great that they're promoting that game in this one, because that really is an awesome game. It's as good as this one! They're on par! For sure, but whatever the hell this is blows Shooty away. Wait, did Grim Campbell just unironically admit there's something better than Shooty? Are they going to have a tournament in this? Are we going into the Eternum world? Wow. That's going to be a fucking crossover I didn't expect. So, you know what? How about we just leave it right there and leave you guys to ponder what happens next? I'm interested, and I know you are. So, alright guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on Grimm's Uncanny Valley with more Chasing Sunsets as Sextember continues. And if you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe and donate to the Grimm's Dungeon of Comics on Patreon. Yeah, I know that it's mainly for comics, but if you guys are donating, like, that would also be awesome. Just saying. And there's a subscribe star if you want to do that. Alright, so I am out of here. See you guys next time.